Jesus Christ is our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. In him we shall trust. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am Deacon Bob, and on behalf of our pastor, Father Mario, and once again, our very, very fine celebrant this morning, Father Scott, we are happy you have joined us either here or at home, for regardless of where we gather, we are united as brothers and sisters in worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To any visitors with us online or here in person, please know that our hearts and our doors are always open for you. You know, in today's gospel, Jesus offers images which reveal to the listeners various aspects of the kingdom. The parable of the weeds and wheat occurs only in Matthew's gospel. It does fit a pattern that is unique in Matthew, in that many of his stories contain a judgment followed by a fiery end. The good sower expects a harvest of wheat, but the enemy has cast weeds in his field. The sower allows both good and bad to grow together, and at harvest time, he will separate the two, and the weeds will be thrown into the fire. You know, this image coming from Jesus, it's not hard to discern nor understand the symbolism. The sower of good seed is Jesus. The field is the world. The enemy is the devil. The wheat and the weeds correlate to good and evil. The harvest is the end of the age, and God's judgment of all occurs. Now, there are several things we can learn from this, including an understanding of why evil things happen in the world. God permits the coexistence of good and evil. He will deal with the two come judgment day, but he does allow them to coexist. So relative to our lives today, we may be faithful followers of Jesus, but we will always have to contend with the weeds, with the evil all around us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, to the non-followers of Jesus, this is a concept they cannot fathom. The non-believer often holds up evil as proof that God does not exist. And this also leads to ridicule of Christians, because our initial typical response to evil acts in the world is prayer. Case in point. In November 2017, a gunman walks into the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, kills 26 people, wounds 20 others. As news of this horrific shooting breaks, many Christians take to social media platforms to offer prayers of support. The pushback to the offer of prayers from many national figures in the media, Hollywood, and elected officials was appalling. Their comments can be summarized because they followed a common thread, such as, if prayers were an answer, wouldn't people in a church be safe? If prayer and God were real, shouldn't they still be alive? You know, these comments, they display a smug disdain for Christianity and an amazing level of ignorance. One national talk show host said this regarding prayer as a first response. When Jesus came upon thousands of hungry people, he did not pray, he fed them. She got it partially right. It is true, he did feed them, but that was step number two. Step number one, from Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing. Jesus prays first, and then he acts to feed the people. After the Texas church shooting, prayers were offered first, but then Christian Fellowship followed. Other Christian churches in the area supplied counselors and ministers for days to comfort the grieving families. And still other churches stepped up and paid the funeral expenses. Evil occurred in that church. Then Christian prayers responded, followed by Christian activity. And this is critical to understand. Because while God may allow that coexistence of good and evil in this world, it is not to be used as an excuse for silence or inaction on our part. We cannot claim a hands-off stance, pretending we are nothing more than passive spectators to the world that God has created. Rather, we are called by Jesus to speak God's truth to both good and evil. In Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says, "The righteous must still do right. The holy must still be holy." We are called to prayer and action. Amen?
Amen.
Now here in 2020, there has been plenty of calls for prayer and action to stand and speak God's truth. We have lived in the past 2 to 3 months as a nation struggling with high levels of violence in the streets. It's not just racial or police protest violence anymore. We can readily see for some, it is violence for the sake of violence. Its aim is simply to destroy. Random violence in the name of social injustice is immoral. It is also impractical. Violence will never solve a social justice issue. It will always seek to consume and destroy more, for violence can never be satisfied. Violence only results in a desolate legacy of bitterness and meaningless chaos. Now understand, all violence is a horrific and willful immoral act. It is counter to God, for it demonstrates complete disdain for human life. To willfully explode in violence at another human being or at their property, in essence, states their life is insignificant and can be discarded. No life is insignificant to God. Amen?
Amen.
And along with the violence of these past few months, we cannot forget the shocking, violent death of George Floyd. His death released the pent-up emotion regarding the stain, the ugliness, the sinfulness of racism. Racism is a violence, whether it is physical or not. You know, when it comes to violence and racism, it is simple to understand the impact on the suffering victims. Christians can easily see the need to first pray for them. And then it's also easy to see the need to take action for them, to offer that healing touch of Jesus, to listen to their stories, to stand against the sinfulness of violence and racism. And here at St. Cyril, we're doing that exactly, and we will continue to do so. But as Christians, we must also be concerned with the spiritual well-being of those who are doing damage to their soul. For those who act upon or harbor the poisons of racism and violence in their hearts are grievously wounding their spiritual well-being. And this includes those who also encourage, condone, excuse, or provide political shelter for those who commit violence and racism. For by doing so, they are complicit in the sinfulness of those evils and are damaging their souls. As Christians, we must pray for them and offer God's truth of conversion. From the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says to the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, all of you. Amen?
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, yes, there is both good and evil in the world. And this will continue until Jesus comes again. And when he comes, everyone will stand before him for judgment. Everyone, not just believers. From Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. I bring with me the recompense. I will give each according to his deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." So until Jesus returns, we are called to offer prayers and the redemptive love of Christ in both our words and our actions. You know, our stance in the world as Christians may not be popular. It may not be accepted. It will be ridiculed often, and at times it will not be safe. But we must stand for God and his truth. For it is his truth that through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, the final victory over evil has already been won. Thank you, Saint Cyril. Stand tall with God. May the Holy Spirit fill your homes. May the grace of God be with you and your families all your days.
Amen.